Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour is back on the air. We're broadcasting again today from the Southern Bancorp studio in Oak Grove. Bob Kelly and Demon, our good friend Daniel Stewart's in the studio with us. Opening segment of our show today, sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue, where you go to cater your next event. You will be happy, or if you want to take your family out for a great barbecue meal tonight, there is no better barbecue in the Pine Belt. The Dixie's Barbecue and Dickey's Barbecue, and we appreciate their support of Southern Miss and, of course, the Eagle Hour. Well, later in the show, we're going to do some chat with people doing football prognostication. That's a big word, football prognostication. And that'll be later in the show. The organization is called Throne Spud, and what makes me a little nervous, Dima, is that Kelly discovered this organization.
I don't know what to expect, but just make sure and have those mute buttons available for you. We don't really know what's going to happen.
Correct. And prepare yourself in case this is the last Eagle Hour.
That's right.
That'll be later in the show.
My income will take a hit.
Yes. Daniel Stewart's done baseball analysis for us all year. I asked him to come back one more time, even though baseball is over, because we were fortunate yesterday. Coach Christian Ostrander did his first media avail. I think I'm right about that, Dima. Since the end of the baseball season, and graciously came on the Eagle Hour, and we appreciated that. And it generated quite a bit of social media. And before we bring Daniel on, you brought that to my attention, Dima, but it got a lot of attention, didn't it?
It did. And of course, it was a big interview. You know, a lot of people want to be hearing from the head coach and wanted to hear certain things, you know, what exactly they're looking for in the portal, how they're going to attack that, what they learned from the 2026 season, what they could change for the 2027 season. While successful at times, it certainly ended with a disappointment. I don't think anybody, even in the baseball organization, would disagree with that. And there's no doubt that there has to be changes for Southern Miss to take the next step that they want to take. And conference tournaments and regular season championships are great, but the next step that everybody in this community wants to take is seeing that team take the field in the World Series. And I think that's just a fair procrastination of it.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Daniel, I know you listened to the interview last night. You're a former player for the Golden Eagles. Just from 30,000 feet, your view of what you heard Coach Oz say.
I'll tell you, I don't envy Coach Oz at all. It's a tough spot to be in, especially trying to, and what he talked about, navigating the NIL market these days. You know, you go out on the portal, you look for a guy. You can't just say, oh, I'm looking for the best third baseman available, because he may be asking for money that we don't have. So, you know, he said he's got to be a right fit for the program. So, you know, he's battling that. It's emotional time doing exit interviews with these guys you spend a lot of time with. You're trying to reflect on the season behind you, look forward, and build a team for the future. So, you know, this coaching staff is extremely busy right now. And I agreed what he said. You know, it was a successful season that we had. But as fans, it's hard to just kind of think about the way it ended. Because obviously we want them to go to College World Series every year, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was a good year. Number 9 seed, national seed, is an impressive thing. It's what you work for all year. Just got to figure out a way to kind of take that next step.
Well, let me ask both you guys this question. I think the program has become a double-edged sword. I think they've had so much success that you can't ignore that. I mean, they've been very, very, very successful. But that success brings anticipation and expectation, Dima Mixon. And the expectation is, based on all the regular season success, is that we're a World Series team. We want to be in the World Series, and we're disappointed if we're not.
Absolutely. I think that's, you know, also what they feel at the baseball complex as well. I mean, you walk in there, it says the road to Omaha. That's the goal everybody's trying to get. And Southern Miss has put themselves in a position to recruit, you know, the talent they're able to recruit, to get players out of the portal that they're able to get. but they have to start showing that they're taking the steps in the postseason. Sure, they've won, you know, the regional in 2022 and 2023. I get all that. But there's still that one step that they just haven't been able to take yet. And over the last in the last two seasons, you had really good rosters to be able to take that next step. Last season, you had a true ace in JB Middleton. You had the most home runs you've ever had as a program, and you lose your home regional. This season, you have a roster filled with veterans. We talked about it all season, how many seniors, how many experienced players, a lot of baseball being played. You had a pretty good rotation, and you didn't even win a game in your own regional. So that's certainly a question mark for this program moving forward, and you're right. The reason it's such a big question mark is because it's hard to see how they have so much success in the regular season against teams that are in the World Series, too.
Right.
Not being able to translate into the postseason, and that's the answer that Oz has to find, and that's why I agree with Daniel. I don't envy him because that's a tough answer to find.
6-3 against three teams that are going to play in the College World Series this weekend. Sure. That was Southern Miss's regular season record against them, but the Golden Eagles don't win a regional.
Right. Well, you know, I sit here as we reflect back. You know, think about the way our season went and the teams we beat early on. Like you just said, Bob, we're 6-3 against those teams. Had we just barely squeaked into a regional and then gone 0-2, I don't think we'd have this level of disappointment that we're having right now. But the season went so well. We came back and won the regular season in Sunbelt. We won the conference tournament. We're hosting a regional, so all the things kind of seem lined up for us to make that next step, and we go 0-2. So that I think the sequence of events there is kind of leading up to some of the tough pill to swallow stuff we're dealing with right now.
Can I pose a question to all three of you? Because I think this is a fair question, and I think we're a talk show. We're able to answer this. Is there anything that Oz said that you just don't agree with that he said yesterday?
No. I mean, honestly, don't. I think he hit the nail on the head on a lot of points. It is very different, the coaching game, the baseball game, the college athletics game, than when he started coaching it. I think Delta State years ago, and his times, you know, he's kind of moved up through the ranks. No, I don't necessarily disagree with anything that he said. I just hope that he can do what he needs to do to build that team and get us ready to go for next year, but it's going to be tough.
I would say this to answer that question, not so much a disagreement. I found what he said about the portal a little alarming, a little concerning, because I read this stuff every day. I think he used the term ridiculous or silly.
Stupid. He said stupid. Yeah.
And I think he's right. And what concerns me is
exactly what Kelly asked.
Are we going to get priced out of being competitive?
And there's nothing, and to anybody that said that what they heard from Coach Ostrander yesterday is not what they wanted to hear, here's the question I will throw out. What did you expect him to say?
Yeah.
He said everything that you would expect him to say under those circumstances. And it's to the point now that what good does it do? I mean, I know we're here today talking about it, but what good does it do at this point? It's done. Now they've got plenty of work ahead of them, and this is a very busy time. And some people will say, oh, and you hear this from social media all the time. Once again, Southern Miss complaining that they're poor, that they don't have any money. That's not the case. They're not poor. But as these figures continue to go up and up and up, you can't.
Yeah.
You can't. It's like the housing market now. The young people, you know, young people coming out of college. I've got a good job, but I still can't afford housing. Mm-hmm. With the way things are going. And we were simply saying that could very well be the case that not only Southern Miss is in, but that Troy is in and that Coastal is in.
Everybody outside of the ACC, the Big Ten, and the SEC. I mean, everybody's faced with that problem.
And I kind of read between the lines, and I want to make it clear this is my opinion just based on my interpretation of what he said, is that is the case, that even right now Southern Miss is being priced out of some of the players that they would really like to get in here, and from a competitive standpoint, would be good fits and aren't any better or any worse than any players that are currently on the roster. They simply can't pay that kind of money.
And Daniel, that's only going to get worse.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I'm not sure what the scale of escalation is on that. You know, is it something that's slowly going up or increasing, you know, at a crazy kind of pace. I got a feeling it's the crazy pace because we've heard about it in basketball and football for years, but baseball's kind of avoided some of this NIL stuff. Well, now listening to Coach Oz, I mean, it's right here at our front step right now that Southern Miss is dealing with it.
With all respect to this kid, when you can play basketball at Alcorn, come to Southern Miss for 1 year and get $1.5 million to go play the next year at Memphis, that tells you – what was the word he used, Dima?
Stupid.
That tells you how stupid things have become.
Well, you know, it's hard. I mean, I'm trying to put myself in the player's position. You want to be loyal, but goodness, I mean, the trajectory of your life can change by making one decision, by stepping away from school and joining another for $1.5 million. It's hard to argue with that.
Yeah. When we come back, I'll tell you guys about an interesting conversation I had with a former NFL quarterback yesterday who now works in an industry where they're trying to counsel these kids who are making all this money in college. And some of the horror stories that he revealed to me, he has seen. And Kelly, it kind of goes back to some things I've heard you say. Jason Campbell says a lot of the problem is with parents, not with the players. We'll tackle that next. Stay with us.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back to the show. Eagle Tire West sponsors this segment of the program. Highway 98 West. They sell Goodyear at all major brand tires. They do full service work on cars and trucks. And they're wonderful local people, family operated since 1985. There is not a nicer guy around than Matt Warren and his dad. Eagle Tire, Eagle Tire West, Goodyear Tires, full service, big Southern Miss supporters. All right, before we move on to that matter I brought up, Dima has corrected me on something. I'll tell you guys this. My son-in-law, I showed Daniel the video, was at Auburn last night. I'm ashamed to say he's a soccer fan, but he's a good guy. He and some of his business guys went to Auburn, and I can't remember who was playing. It was crazy. It was Iceland against some Scandinavian.
Argentina, I believe so.
Whoever.
Now, Argentina in that world is really good.
All right. Yeah, they have Lionel Messi. Okay.
85,000 people, Dima Mixon, at the Auburn football stadium last night, and you told me you're not surprised.
No. Yeah, the World Cup's a huge deal. Huge deal. You know, I think last time it was, I can't remember exactly where, somewhere in the Middle East, but I remember like it was a big deal, like Elon Musk was going to watch, you know, the final or whatever, and so it's a big deal, and it's pretty cool to see the United States, and then we also get the Olympics in 2028 too. So
do you believe, and he did tell me that a big part of the crowd did not appear to be Americans, but you said that didn't surprise you, that Europeans and people from all over the world have traveled here to watch these matches.
Absolutely. World Cup's huge. Huge deal.
I don't think there will be as big a crowd there until the Golden Eagles play there in football this fall. I think that'll be a comparable crowd.
Well, I think that'll be a comparable crowd anytime Auburn plays football there is what I think.
So we have nothing to do with it? Is that what you're saying?
I don't think so. Okay. All right, going back to what we talked about, I had a very interesting conversation yesterday with Jason Campbell. And for people who may not know, a Laurel kid, played football here in the Pine Belt, played at Auburn, all SEC, big-time player. First-round draft choice of Joe Gibbs and the Redskins. It was fascinating to hear him talk about the first time he met Joe Gibbs and how surreal it was, and he just was repeating to himself, that's Joe Gibbs, that's Joe Gibbs, that's Joe Gibbs. But anyway, he's retired, and he now works for an organization that tries to counsel kids and guide kids through this NIL process. And several things he said were very interesting to me. More and more of these organizations are developing. He said many of these kids are kids who never had any money all their life, limited parental influence in their lives, and now suddenly they got a $500,000 or $750,000. And if you, he said that's dangerous. It can be dangerous to put that kind of money in the hands of a young person. So these men, many are retired football players and athletes, are trying to counsel these kids on 2% of the people in Division I ever make professional sports. 98% of you are never going to see a football field in the NFL. You have this money. If you squander this money and you don't pursue your degree, you're going to find yourself broke, uneducated, and unemployable when you get out of college. That, in a nutshell, is what they're trying to prevent. Shocking to me, guys, and any of you can comment on that, is he said they've learned that in many cases, the genesis behind the push for the money, I'm going to this school, and the next year I'm going to this school, and next year I'm going to this school, not the players, parents. Does that surprise you, fellas?
No, not at all. And it's sad to say that. You know, 50 years ago, it wouldn't be that way. It was a whole different way about going about your business, living your life, loyalty to institutions. And as time has gone on, it's gone away from that, where even in our schools, you know, just respect for teachers. You know, a lot of times you hear parents, oh, the teacher did this to my child. Well, you know, back in my day, I don't care what the teacher said, teacher's always right. Mm-hmm. So there's been this societal, cultural change in, you know, like authority, you know. So I'm not surprised that parents are now putting their kids in positions to not really be set up to make the wisest decisions, and parents being the, like you said, Bob, the genesis behind all these decisions. Right. It's sad.
David, tell me what you think about this. Here's another thing he said to me I thought was so interesting. He said, not only is this creating problems for kids, this is destroying traditional rivalries. And he said, I'm going to give you an example. I played 3 years quarterback for Auburn against Alabama, and he did throw in. We won all three. And he said, you know, the intensity was higher than anything he was ever involved in. He said, but that's beginning to get damaged because now they have the Iron Bowl. You got kids on Auburn's team that last year played for Alabama. You might have kids from Alabama that now are playing for Auburn. He just says that there has to be some control here, and someone needs to get a handle on this. Now, this is from a professional football quarterback that the game is being terribly damaged. Your thoughts?
Yeah, the good news is for everybody that Congress is in charge. You know, they're figuring it out.
That'll solve everything.
So we should be in a pretty quick solution to this. No, it's sad. I mean, it really is sad. And you know, I'm just going to take it back to a Southern Miss, you know, discussion. I mean, I've grown up in Hattiesburg my whole life. I mean, and I've been to a lot of Southern Miss football games and seen a lot of Southern Miss games. I mean, and I would say 2000, because a lot of people talk about the good old days of Southern Miss football when they were beating, you know, Alabama's and all those things. And I would just say to them, like, it wasn't really even that long ago. Like 2010, 2011, I was in Houston when Southern Miss went to the Conference USA Championship in Houston. They were number 6 in the country. USM had no chance to beat them, and USM went in there and whacked them. I mean, if Southern Miss plays Houston today, Houston, not even Alabama or whoever it is, Houston, you know, they're probably going to be 17-point underdogs. Mm-hmm. A great example, when they play Tulane this, I mean, we've all joked about it, but that's a team that has more money than Southern Miss does, so we assume Southern Miss will lose that game. It's Tulane. All right. So it's not even just you know, an Alabama, Auburn, Ohio State, Georgia discussion. It's a look at where it even is. Correct. On the bottom level of football versus Southern Miss and Memphis. Southern Miss should have beat Memphis all the time. And Charles Huff is leaving Southern Miss to go to Memphis because it's a better job.
Yeah. Kelly, his suggestion, there were several, but a cap on how much money they can make, some sanity in the transfer rule. His suggestion was, well, you can transfer one time, but if you transfer a second or third time, you have to sit out a year to try and slow down the transfer rule. And he said, I think all of us who played professional sports want kids to make money because the universities are making money.
Absolutely.
But there has to be some control.
I think there also needs to be an age limit where you don't have these 27 and 28-year-old guys who are men, you know, playing with 18-year-old guys who are young men, but still there's a vast difference in their experience athletically. The other thing I want to go back to is parents. And you know, this is one of my favorite subjects. And I hear this from parents all the time. Well, my kid plays travel ball because, you know, he's going to get exposure. And we're going to go to this baseball showcase over in Atlanta with Perfect Game and Baseball Factory. And we're going to spend $4,000 for the week so my kid can, you know, be seen by Kennesaw State. You know, and parents are convincing themselves. They're rationalizing in their own mind that their kid is going to get to play in the big leagues because of all this money they're spending. They get everything. They can buy their kid anything else. They think they can buy their kid's way into professional sports. If you parents would take the money that you spent in going to all these travel ball tournaments and put it in a moderate growth mutual fund from the time that that kid is 8 years old, they wouldn't have to go to Kennesaw State. They could go to Stanford. They could go to Notre Dame with the money that you would be putting away. So don't give me the mess about, well, that's the only way my kid's get to play in the bigs. And statistically, and I know this will probably draw the ire of some people, it's getting tougher and tougher for American kids to play Major League Baseball. When you look at the rise of the Chicago White Sox this year has been done because of their Asian players that they brought in. The Dominican Republic has complete leagues of nothing but Dominican Republic kids who will work for a lot cheaper than American kids will. So wake up, smell the coffee, see what's real, and deal with it. Now, if you want to go to these Perfect Game tournaments and have an experience with your son or daughter, making memories, that's a whole different deal. But to spend the money saying, this is my kid's ticket to the big leagues, wrong. And you need to deal with reality.
All right, wrap this up, Daniel. We got 50 seconds.
Yeah, well, the concerning thing to me, and kind of piggyback off what Kelly was saying, is and I talked to some parents that have kids growing up in baseball. Well, number one, I did mention this to a coach one time. I was like, Coach, do you recruit differently now because of all the travel ball? He said, absolutely. See, kids are throwing more, their arms are getting, they're having injuries at a younger age, they're burning out quicker, so they're recruiting differently. And the other thing is, you know, this participation society mentality. All these kids get first place in these tournaments, they're all getting these rings. They got a wall full of rings. I've got three, and they all came from state championships at West Lauderdale. That's mm-hmm. the only rings I've got. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the expectation that is built up in these kids' minds of, you know, if I do these small things, I'm going to get rewarded, get a ring. You know, it's there's more to it than that in the long run, but it is not going to translate to professional baseball.
Well, man, we appreciate your analysis all baseball season.
You know, it's been a great year. Like I said, I hate the way the season ended, but we had a great year. It was a good time to be a Southern Miss baseball fan.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
We'll be right back, everybody. Talk a little football when we come back.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back, everybody. DBAT sponsors this segment of our program. They're out on Hardy Street, state-of-the-art baseball, softball training facility. Luke Reynolds manages that place, former Golden Eagle great, played at Mississippi State as well, and he was a man among boys at one time when he was playing college baseball. DBAT, Hardy Street, great place to take your children to make them the best they can be in the sport of their choice. Forest Healthcare reminds you that you are the most important player on any team, so you be sure you get an annual physical. Be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home, foresthealth.org. And don't forget about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast, and that's where many of you find us on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube. Alexa or Siri will play it for you. Mason DeLesser owns an organization known as Throne Spud, which I found a little unusual, and they predict college football, and we've got him on the show with us right now. Mason, where in the world did you come up with the name Throne Spud?
Yes, sir. Well, thanks for having me, first of all.
Sure.
And Yeah, so me and Briggs Wharton, who we co-run the brand, he's from Idaho originally, so we got to have a little homage to culture out there. So that's where the spud comes from, and then throne or couch. So it's just a little play on couch potato, since that's what we are on Saturdays in the fall.
So. No wonder Kelly found your sights so quickly. That's right down his alley, Mason. That's his specialty.
Man, Mason.
Just the right amount of weird. Nice.
Over 20,000 followers on Instagram, and you guys have been releasing your college football preseason projections, win-loss records, and things like that. A couple of Sun Belt teams have already been released, and a lot of turnover here at Southern Miss, not only in the coaching staff, but on the roster. So we're all anxious to hear what Throne Spud, what your projections and predictions are for the Golden Eagles as we head into the fall football season.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So, like you said, a lot of turnover. But I have y'all projected at 4-8 this year. So I've got a few wins, and from what I hear from you guys, that might be a little optimistic from what y'all are even thinking. But you guys snagging a few wins this year. So 4-8.
Can you break it down for us? The four that you've got Southern Miss to win.
So I got Alcorn State, of course. I've got the FCS game, the home opener. I've got you guys winning that one. And then I've got five straight losses to begin the year because, again, I look at the roster. It's a lot of pieces coming in from different places, some P4 talent, some FCS talent. I think it's going to take some time for them to gel and mesh. Week 7, this one might surprise you guys. I've got y'all beating Louisiana, actually, at home. So that's going to be a little bit of an upset. And then I've got
Mason, can I stop you right there?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Is that when the bourbon kicked in?
maybe a little bit, maybe. No, so that one, I was thinking Louisiana's in the middle of a tough stretch, and they've got they've got Troy coming up, or actually before that. So I'm thinking they're going to be a little fatigued from that tough home battle with Troy, and Southern Miss is going to catch them napping a little bit. So, you know, we try to mix in some upsets here and there, because every Saturday I know there's a couple results that we never see coming. So tried to mix in one after that, and maybe the bourbon was talking to me a little bit at that point.
All right, so you got Alcorn, us winning Alcorn in Louisiana, okay?
Yep, and then Louisiana Monroe right after that. It's a little two-game win streak. And then JMU, Louisiana Tech, I got losses there. JMU, that's going to be a rough one. And then South Alabama at home, I think they can win that one.
So you think they can beat South Al?
I do. I like their quarterback a little bit, but there's a lot of turnover going on with them as well. So I think they've got what it takes to at least. That's senior day too, so had to take that into account.
Mason, how you like that Tulane game? How you think that's going to turn out?
Oh, that's not going to go well. Former coach. yeah, that's going to be rough, and I really like them this year.
I was just about to ask, what is your outlook on Tulane? I mean, that's definitely interesting to a lot of the Southern Miss listeners that we have.
Yeah. They're going to do really well this year. In fact, I have them at 9-3. So they're going to have a chance to get double digit wins in bowl season, in my opinion.
Now what's interesting about the 9-3 pick, though, and to be fair, is that a lot of these players are left over from the previous administration. It'll be interesting to see how the 9-3, you know, revolves into the next year. But as you look at the Sun Belt now, Mason, who's going to be the surprises this year in the Sun Belt, or who are going to be the horses?
Yeah. So I've got JMU atop. In fact, just a little sneak preview, unless that one's already out. 11-1 for JMU this year. I'm pretty bullish on them. Listen, Billy Napier, as a student at University of Florida for the last 2 years, you can say a lot about his ability to manage games and keep his roster disciplined and ready to play on Saturdays, but the man can acquire talent. So I'm banking on that this year. I really like what I see when I look on the on the roster sheet there. So I got them leading the Sun Belt. And then I got this like kind of middle tier or like mid-upper tier of Old Dominion, Arkansas State, Marshall, and Troy. Got them all at 8-4, 9-3. In fact, Old Dominion's at 9-3. So that's our upper tier.
What about nationally, national champions outlook, playoffs?
He's an Ohio State fan, Mason, just to let you know.
Can't say that.
Look, it's hard to deny that talent. Honestly, Oregon, they're reminding me a lot of what Ohio State did the last 2 years ago when they won it all. You suffer that, like, just crushing loss in the playoffs, convince a lot of guys to come back, pull their name out of the draft, and it's given me a little bit of flashbacks there. So I'm feeling pretty bullish on them. So, yeah, well, we haven't released our official national championship picks yet.
Mason, what about the two schools up north? Don't mention them by name. We're not allowed to do that on this show. But the two schools up north.
Yes. Michigan, right?
Ole Miss.
And Mississippi State, but we can't say it.
Oh, my fault.
I heard
that school up north, and I went full on. Yeah. All right, so Ole Miss, and then what are you?
Mississippi State.
Mississippi State.
Mississippi State. Okay, Mississippi State's going to be a rough year for them up there. Ole Miss, I put Trinidad Chambliss as the best quarterback in the nation, so kind of hard to deny the talent there. I have them, I believe, at 10 wins this year, hovering around that 9-10 win mark as well.
You think they have a chance to compete for the SEC championship, Ole Miss?
What's that?
Do you think Ole Miss has a legitimate shot at competing for the SEC championship this fall?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
I would agree.
Yeah. I know they lost a lot in the portal, but with the continuity and Pete Golding, just what I hear from his defensive mind, I think they're going to be right up there.
Well, Mason, I got to tell you, even though you have the Eagles projected at 4-8, I would, under the circumstances, I don't think that's bad. I think that considering all of this turnover, Blake Anderson's a guy that's not going to be in a big hurry to go anywhere, like a lot of other coaches that might come in here. So, from a building situation, he's done it before out in Utah. He's coached in the league before at Arkansas State. So, I think all in all, 4-8 would not be too bad.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it would tie, I think, his career low for wins in a season, but that's not a bad start, especially since he's coming back and, you know, it's a new era. The last time he was coaching, NIL wasn't really a thing. So,
well, one more for you real quick. What about Memphis? What do you see from them?
Yeah, let me Memphis, I have them doing really well. Let's see here. I do really like that they got Aaron Nolan out there from, I forgot where they got him, but he's going to be great this year. Memphis, yeah, I have them at 9-3 as well, right there with Tulane battling it out for the American.
Wouldn't that be ironic?
The last two Southern Miss coaches going 9-3.
I'm going to ask you this question before we run out.
And they didn't get anywhere close to 9-3 here.
I want to ask you this before we run out of time for my young protege here.
Yes, sir.
The best football conference in America will be, Mason.
Okay.
There's one answer. It's not hard.
I know y'all aren't going to like it because where we are, I got to put my foot down. It's going to be the Big Ten this year.
Yes.
I don't.
Thank you.
Yes. There you go. That's my Ohio State guy, right?
Yes.
Yep. I got to be impartial.
He's a Southern Miss / Ohio State guy, in all fairness.
I'm a journalist.
Yeah. We have to say
that. Well, follow Throne Spud on Instagram. Are you also on X as Throne Spud?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay.
We're on X, TikTok, Twitter, YouTube, Twitter, X, same thing, YouTube, all those.
THRONE. Throne, like a king's throne, Spud, SPUD. They'll be releasing all the schools from across the country, all the conferences when it comes to football. They do college and basketball. They're a fun site to really keep track of. I would really recommend you guys check them out and give them a follow.
Mason, we appreciate your time, my man. We may call on you as the football season gets a little closer, if you're good with that.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to it. I'd love to be back on.
Thank you for your time, my friend.
Thank you, guys.
Mason DeLesser, everybody, from Throne Spud.
I don't think 4-8. I can live with that under the circumstances.
I think that'd be a pretty decent.
If they get through the season and beat Louisiana and South Alabama like he was predicting, I think that's fine.
Yeah, yeah. And if they knock off Tulane, it'll be a championship year, huh?
Yeah, well.
you know, it's hard to believe that how things have been reversed in the last 20 years. Southern Miss owned Tulane.
That's what I said in the first segment.
Yeah, owned them. Absolutely owned them.
And Memphis,
yeah.
They haven't, this year's team, they haven't played us yet.
We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, summer's here, and for us Golden Eagles, baseball is over, so it'd be a good time to start doing some work around the house. You'll find everything you need for that at MCS Home Center out in Bellevue. MCS is Hattiesburg's new improvement home center. Local folks eager to serve you there at 7329 Highway 98 West. You'll find everything you need for your home, your lawn, your garden, beautiful appliances. I'm going to buy me one of those grills, outdoor grills, flat grills that you can cook all kinds of.
Well, you got your patio covered now, right?
I do. So,
because that sun in the summertime, man, is brutal.
I'm going to get that grill and get my wife out there cooking like she's supposed to do.
Oh, boy.
I'm glad she doesn't listen to the show.
Yeah. Well, Kelly, what do you think we're going to do for the rest of the summer? Bob ain't going to be here anymore.
Yeah, I was thinking, I tried raising chickens one time, but I guess I must have planted them too deep because they never came up. So I maybe need to ask the guys at MCS what I was doing wrong.
He's just, what do you say, Damon?
A special shout out to Braden Montgomery of the Jackson area. Braden Montgomery, he is a rookie with the Chicago White Sox. Mm-hmm. Now, I know, you know, my son's with the White Sox, but that's neither here nor there. He, in his rookie at bat, his first at bat in the big leagues last night, in Chicago against the Atlanta Braves, hits a walk-off winning home run for the White Sox. And you're saying, okay, why are we even mentioning Braden Montgomery?
That's what I was wondering.
He prepped at Madison Central High School. Okay, so he's a Mississippi kid. Uh-huh. Went to Stanford out of Madison Central. Was drafted very highly. And then, like I said, how often does that happen in your first major league at bat that you not only hit a home run, but it's a game winner? So thrilling for a Mississippi kid to get that opportunity.
I did that in my first major league at bat, but I just.
But you don't like to brag about it.
I don't like to brag about it.
No, you don't like to brag.
I don't know much about it. I've struck out plenty of times, but I've never.
Yeah, we're aware of that. Yeah. We're completely
aware. You hear from most of the women, right?
But, so this is the time of the year, Dima, when we ask, what do we do for news and notes? There are no news in those.
We just sit around and talk. That's all we do. It's okay. It's okay.
But World Cup does begin tomorrow?
Last night. That was an exhibition. Okay. Yeah, I don't know when it starts.
Yeah, so the World Cup begins this weekend.
Finals on tonight.
And you got the World Series that will begin this weekend. The U.S. Open Golf Tournament is next weekend.
And the finals, NBA Finals on tonight, Game 4.
And that's been a really good series.
All three of those games have been thrillers.
And I know this is really going to shock you, but the Stanley Cup playoffs are tied at two games apiece.
Yeah.
Hockey in June, ladies and gentlemen. Ice hockey in June.
I've seen the highlights of those games. Those games have been looked at exciting as well.
They have been, but I mean, are all professional sports seasons not too long?
Oh, it's
and I mean, the NFL owners keep wanting more and more games.
Well, and none worse than Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
How many games do they play?
162.
Yeah.
162.
Lord almighty.
Yeah, but when you have to pay those exorbitant salaries, you got to get the money from somewhere, right? Yeah. And you better enjoy it this year, because I'm telling you, there ain't going to be a Major League season next year. This walkout and this strike is going to happen. And it could be the long haul, because the owners have insisted that there will be a salary cap, and the players said no reason to even continue the conversation because there will not be a salary cap. Now,
because no amount of money is enough for them.
The NFL has a salary cap. All the other major organizations have salary caps. And I hear what you're saying, Bob, and the players expect that that's going to be the general public's reaction. But when you talk to the players, the team's representatives, all right, from each of the teams, they tell the younger players, too. They said, look, if you implement a salary cap, and let's just use Aaron Judge or Otani with the Dodgers. Let's just say, for the ease of the math, it's $100 million salary cap. Well, Otani and Judge, they're going to get theirs. All right, they're going to get their $85 million.
Yep.
All right, so you got $15 million left to spread over about 50 or 60 guys. Now, it's still a salary that all of us could live with, but in the context of Major League Baseball, that's not a whole lot of money. So these younger players, they're asking the same thing. Why aren't we for a salary cap? And the older, more established players are saying, you guys of all people should not be for a salary cap, because Ohtani and Judge are going to get theirs, and then you're going to get the crumbs that are left. And we as older guys who have money in the bank don't think it's right that you guys are going to be left with the crumbs.
Well, they can say that, and that may be true, but you know what the public perception is going to be. You greedy professional baseball players, how many millions of dollars do you think you have to have?
They also have been told that, to expect that the general public will side with the owners. But the players, they just said it is a non-negotiation point, a salary cap. And right now, it ends, the CBA ends at the end of the year. I just don't see this happening.
Can't we all just get along?
Okay, Rodney King. Wasn't that his famous quote?
That was it.
You know,
he was right, though. He was right.
You'd like to think so, but
thankfully, our salary cap on this show is 3 cents a year. So yes. we're running good.
We're each holding 1 cent. We're holding strong on the salary cap around here. I just want you both to know that.
They've been holding that salary cap down tight for a long time. but when you hear that explained by the player agents, it does make sense. But whether they'll get their way or not remains to be seen.
All right, Damon, who's on the show tomorrow?
No idea, Bob. This is your show. I'm just kidding.
It's Wheel of Fortune. We'll spin the wheel.
It's a who's who game.
And whoever draws the short straw will be on the show.
Anybody
tomorrow.
Gets a text from us now is going to be like, you've got to be kidding.
Grab that guy coming out of a quarter market. Oh, we'll book him for tomorrow.
He's got a pulse. Southern Miss to the top.
Bye.
On slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.